Welcome to Hochoka Podcast.
House parenting. Who wants that job? Let's find out by talking to someone who wasn't so sure at first. The president of St. Joseph's Indian School. Hello, Mataki Epi, and welcome to Hochoka here at the center of St. Joseph's Indian School's campus. I'm Scott Wooster, today's Hochoka host, and we're glad you've joined our circle for part one of a three-part series called Detour Home, which covers various perspectives on residential living. Today we talk with Mike Terrell. Terrell is the president of St. Joseph's Indian School and author of the recently published Detour Home, whose name we steal for this series. The novel is a series of fictional stories sewn together to tell a more significant tale. It's loosely based on his experience as a young man who moved with his wife to St. Joe's Indian School to become a house parent. Like the other two parts in this series, it explores the true meaning of the residential setting as a crucible for growth and relationship. So Mike, thank you for being with us today.
Scott, I'm honored to be part of Hochoka. It's a great thing you're doing with the podcast here on the campus of St. Joe's, so glad to be here.
Wopila, it's good to have you here as well. So you and I have been around this place for quite a while now. What year did you arrive here at St. Joe's?
So my wife and I came here in 1985, and we were house parents for 3 years.
Okay.
And then might as well go into the rest of my history at St. Joe's.
Give me the story.
From that point on, then I was part of the administration. We started out in human resources. And from there, then got into residential administration. So I've been part of the administration since the early 90s.
Yeah.
And then in 2013, it was 2014, actually, I was actually named the president of St. Joseph's Indian School.
Right.
So I was bestowed that honor, and I'm still president today.
Yeah, exactly. You've made a go of this thing here at St. Joe's and been around here for a while and stayed in that same capacity, you know, in the same role for quite a while now. But the first pages of your book, Detour Home, show little promise of maybe ending up making a almost 40-year career out of it. You note that when you came out here, you felt like you were on your own a little bit, uncertain if you should be here. And I think there's so many of us that come here to work at St. Joe's that do go through that same experience. What would you say to the folks that come here and feel that way, you know, based on your experience?
In my experience over the years, as we started out as house parents, and I've seen it over my time in administration, I think there's an initial rush when you come here of, like, this place is perfect, everything will go well, this is going to be a cakewalk and that type of thing. And I always felt, particularly with the house parenting, about the second or third month, really the honeymoon kind of ends, and the reality of kids don't really know you, you don't know them, difference in background, difference in perspectives, difference of life experiences kind of come to a head. And I think there's a period there where one does feel like, oh boy, did I get in over my head? And I think when that happens, the key is to do a couple things. Number one, I think you can seek out the help of other individuals, hear what other individuals have gone through, because it's not unique just to one person. And secondly, I think there's an opportunity there to look inward to say, why am I here? Mm-hmm. What was my motivation for coming to St. Joe's? And I do think as you go through those periods, I think the first 6 months of house parenting can be tough. That first year can be tough. But the payoff is unbelievable. And so what I try and say to people is always try and get through that first year, get past that first break. The kids seem to accept you as you come back. Get through that first year. Get through that cycle of St. Joe's, which really goes through kind of on a yearly basis. And afterwards, the payoff is unbelievable. Year two is unbelievable as a house parent.
Yeah.
Because the kids know you and you know them.
Yeah. So the promise that you experience when you first get here does exist. It just gets kind of muddied. The view of it gets muddied for a little bit.
Right. And I think, right, exactly. And I think in the book, that is, I try to extrapolate that and show that there was that time of a little bit of uncertainty. But even with Kim and I just moving from the big city to rural America, that was a personal part of the story that was like, oh boy, we're in over our heads at times. But look where we are 37 years later, right? With a little introspection. Life couldn't have been any better.
Exactly. Truly. And I'm going to back up just a step because you told me what you do here, what your role was here, but what on earth prompted you and Kim to come here in the first place back in 1985?
You know, I think everybody's looking for, you know, that lightning bolt hit us and we said, we got to get out to Chamberlain, South Dakota. But it was a little more of kind of we were at a point in life where we said, we don't have any children now. We, our jobs are fine and we'll probably do them forever. I was in the brokerage business. Mm-hmm. Kim was in retail. And we said, why don't we just take a year and do something different and maybe try and make a little bit of a difference.
Yeah.
But it was more of being young and looking for a little adventure, too.
How did you hear about St. Joe's? I mean, why did you zero in on this place?
So we decided at some point, okay, we want to be here and we want to stay here in the U.S. because there's opportunities to go abroad and that mm-hmm. type of thing. And then we just narrowed our search down and it came to Catholic organization in South Dakota, and the idea of working with Native American people sounded somewhat interesting at that time. So it was the idea of trying to do a little bit of service while we had the opportunity in life.
Right, and the fit has been great, obviously. One of the things that I really liked about the novel is the advice that you got from some folks who had been here before you, some of the more seasoned colleagues that you had. One thing somebody said to you, and I can't remember who it was from my reading of the book, but they said, these kids don't want to be labeled. I believe you said labels are when you don't know somebody. They want you to get to know them personally and be treated as individuals. And if you're respectful and honest with them, they will eventually respect you as well. Why is that important advice for you as you got it, for them to pass to you and then for you to pass on?
The reason I think that is important is because you want to know, I think anytime you work with youth and children or people in general, mm-hmm. it doesn't hurt to have a little bit of background, but sometimes there's this fear that you can take it too far and you can take those labels and then somehow treat somebody differently because of a label or a connotation you put upon some information you heard. And the idea was, although some of that can be helpful, and don't discount that, people in the end want to be treated as people.
Right.
They want to be taken at that moment as the person I am and the interaction I am, not as a house parent saying, okay, running through a checklist as you're talking to a kid, well, they've been labeled A, B, C, or D.
Yeah.
And I think those moments, having a little bit of that is good, but those moments are better when those labels aren't present, when it's taken you and me, mano on mano, whoever you're working with, person to person.
Yep.
And and it's important not to label them. The book almost goes so far as to say, don't even feel sorry for kids.
Yeah.
They don't want your sorrow. They don't want your pity. They just want the possibility of a relationship and to keep it authentic.
Yeah, absolutely. And we want the same things as you and I want the same things. I don't want to be labeled and I don't want to be pitied. So when you came here, I think you had a sense, I gathered this from the book, that you had a sense that there were a couple of different worlds colliding. Your upbringing in Chicago, in the area around Chicago, and you come here and it's a vastly different world. It's rural here. It's the indigenous world, and you know, it's land where the indigenous people have lived for years and years, and you come here and you're finding something totally different where you came from. What can you comment on that?
Yeah, I think if you took it dollar for dollar, brass tacks is a better way to say that, but as a kind of a straight line, you'd say, I'm from a different culture, therefore there's no coming together.
Right.
And the reality is there's some universal things out there that allows us to be one, to work together, to be part of each other's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Love, hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even our families, I've found this to be even universal. Families want kids educated. Families want kids to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you come to that basic foundation, which is the mission of St. Joe's, you realize that anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you come to this with a good heart and true love for the students,
mm-hmm.
the kids will turn around, I think, eventually be great. And they need that. They need somebody that will love them, but also hold them accountable,
mm-hmm.
somebody that will trust them, but also make sure that they're trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And kids look for that and thrive on that. And I think those traits are universal. And I think once you get in the universality of those things and they're universal and they're real, wonderful things can happen when cultures come together.
Yeah.
So it's less about two different cultures and more of sharing of culture, being present with each other,
yeah.
being helpful to each other in a situation where one needs help. You know, one of the biggest parts and the toughest part of the book was kind of latter chapter in there, but it was more about the kids propping up and helping the house parents
yeah.
than it was the house parents doing anything for the students. So, again, I don't want to give the book away,
right.
but really, you do draw from each other with those universal traits, and then the culture is just cream on the crop to
yeah.
understand and know about our kids' culture. And then for them even to understand, I think the book even highlights this a little bit at the end, the kids even understanding, well, there's a different culture in Chicago. There's
mm-hmm.
a different way of living there. And instead of being afraid of it, almost sharing it and enjoying it and
yeah.
participating in it.
Yep. And you may not get that right when you come
right.
to school here, but over time you're going to get that as defenses start to drop and,
right.
and you get to know each other. So this book, Detour Home, is actually, I asked you about this after I read it too. I said, this is an every item in this book is true. And you said, well, it's semi-fictional. You know, it's based on our experience that we had here and some other collected experiences. And then some imaginings of how this would look to other people to make it more universal. But you also talked about a turning point, almost the second act. And you've said this a little bit, but there was a shift. And you said it's not really a linear experience in the way it's going to work, but it's almost like a shift or an experience that you have in the chante or the heart, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and I think you, as we talk, there's a universal theme approaching it, and it's kind of that hanging in there. But I think there's a sense that the linear part of that sentence is about if I do A, B, C, D, E, and F, the kids are going to like me, A, mm-hmm. B, C. And that's not the way it ever works.
Right.
And it's really about emotion. It's about love. It's about heart.
Right.
And when you break that sentence down, I think we want to just say, I'll go through all the paces and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And there's going to be ups and downs. And the book, I think, highlights that. Things get a little better and then they get a little worse. Things with the students, things are really going well and then we have some setbacks. And so life gets in the way. So
mm-hmm.
that's just kind of a reminder that as much as we plot it out in our heads that it's just going to be this simple, straightforward thing, it's not. And the best part of the job, when you look back over time, was the emotional parts, the things that
mm-hmm.
came up, the things that threw you for a wrench,
yeah.
the kids that probably had the toughest times and you had the toughest times with, and then end up having the best relationship long term.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, and I, as I talk to you, Scott, I see it on your face. You know what that's like, and it's almost magical. It's almost
mm-hmm.
Unbelievable that it happens that way. But it's through those difficulties and those ups and downs And sometimes things are good, too,
mm-hmm.
you know, and good things come from that, too. But it's not just a simple X, Y, and Z, I do A, B, C. It's more about putting yourself in there and then really, really, really benefiting. And, the end of the book really talks about, in the end, you give a little, receive a lot.
Yep.
You teach a little and learn a heck yep. of a lot.
Yeah, you
and
do.
So that's kind of our motto here at St. Joe's, and it plays out every day here.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost it strikes me as funny that I've went through the process, and all the new staffs continue to. You know, I think our orientation period when you come in as a new staff now shakes out to be 12 days, and then it's continued
yeah.
throughout the year. And before you ever meet the kids, you have to, and we have to do this. I get that. But you come in and you learn X, Y, Z. This is what you're going to deal with. And then the kids walk in the door and everything becomes something different than what you would have expected
right.
because you have personalities and whatnot. So kids, this is how intimate this is, and you alluded to this too, but you get to know the kids. One of your themes is through the hard times, and a theme in the book is that kids go through some of those hard times, whether typical hard times, stuff that we go through with our families too, deaths, the grieving process, hard things that happen in any family. But when the kids are growing up in your house here on campus, you go through those things with them. So you share those hardships with them. You've got their back when they go through that. And I'm not going to give too much away of your book, but there was a tragedy that happens here at the school that was hard on you, that was hard on the kids. And you talked a little bit about the grieving and what their responses to you meant to you as you went through some of that yourself. Can you talk about that a little bit? Yeah.
And I think the book also speaks to the resilience our kids have. Mm-hmm. And sometimes our kids have been exposed to a lot. And in that exposure, there's a tremendous sense of resilience in the students and even in the families of our students, mm-hmm. too. But in particular, as we're talking of the students. And so I'm always amazed, and I've seen it a number of times here, when there's a good relationship and the home has kind of gotten through that tough times and things are running well here, those students can almost supply the staff as much of a comfort and taking care of them in difficult times. So the book highlights a more of even a greater tragedy here on campus, but because of that resilience, the kids are able to demonstrate that sense of helping out, that sense of pitching in, that sometimes amazes me that they do that. And sometimes as staff, we draw upon that in a way that helps us get through tough times. Mm-hmm. And so the book kind of highlights that with a situation that happened here on campus.
Yeah. I always say, after 30 years of being here, I work with 7th through 12th grade boys, and I feel like we get to know each other well enough to where they know me well enough that they trust me that I would help their family in any way that they can, any way that I can, but that's reciprocated too.
Right.
Because I know there are kids and their families who would do anything for me, and not just me, but my wife, my kids, my Tekoja, my grandkids, all those kinds of things. And it's a really, truly amazing symbiotic relationship that you point out in Detour Home, which is great. So I just want to say thank you for being here today in Ho-Choke. It was good to have you here for this conversation. But also thank you for writing this book, because I enjoyed it. It impacted me. And I think anybody who reads it is going to enjoy the stories in there. But as a blueprint, almost, for the folks that come to work here, it's a way to see that there's a path that's been created, and that's a nice thing. So I don't know if you want to, can you hold that up to the camera just so folks can see it?
You know, and I'd say as a fledgling author, which I truly am, you're always worried that you put something on paper and it's either not going to make sense or not going to be understood like you hope. And my hope is that people just get a greater sense of what St. Joe's is all about here.
Yep.
Because we truly have a mission that I think impacts lives in a very good way. And so my blessing, therefore, is carried forward by trying to pass that book along to others that hopefully can share in that understanding of the importance of our work and the blessing of our work.
It's nice to be able to share your story, too.
Sure.
Absolutely. So that book, Detour Home, is available now?
Yeah, it's available now. It's available on a bunch of different mediums. So.
Okay, Amazon or wherever folks get their books.
One thing about getting old is your technology is whatever, but it's on Amazon, some of those things.
So yeah.
It's out there somewhere. Yeah. So just if you could Google it, you'll find it.
Yeah, exactly. We can't tell you where to find it, but we know that you all know where to find your books, so we won't worry about that too much. And there's been some rumors that it may be an audiobook at some point, too. We're hoping for that, maybe.
Yeah, I think there's an audience out there that anymore does a lot of things audio-wise, and I've asked a few people this. When you read it, can you hear it? And they've encouraged me to, hey, maybe it should look at making an audiobook, because it's speaks well and it speaks volumes about the work and things we do.
Fantastic. Thank you for your talk. I appreciate it, Mike.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate your work here at Ho-Choke.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thank you to our viewers and the folks who joined us today.
here in Hochoka at the center of St. Joseph's Indian School's campus, where we talk about issues that are central to Native American education today. So until next time, stay centered.